Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, welcome back to the show. I'm still in Bosnia at the moment. You know what's interesting to me? Well, I guess technically I'm in the Balkans, but I moved over to Bosnia. It's interesting to be here. I'll be honest with you guys. I'll tell you a little bit about it if you've never been here. Apparently, where I'm at was where World War I started, if you can believe it. Apparently, Franz Ferdinand was assassinated here, as well as most of the population is Muslim, which is interesting. And it goes to show that there's a giant crossroads right here. And I think it really plays into our community, because a lot of us, we have different ideas on how to reach the same thing. In a lot of ways, faith has a similar way of trying to reach the human heart and the human soul. And you might find it a little weird that I'm talking like this. And you know what? I don't blame you. Not for a second, actually. But the reason I bring this together is because we often find ourselves caught in our own little bubbles of the world. We have our own ideas, our own theories, and we often don't get exposed to people who are very different than us, who have different conversations. And I'm not talking about just the normies you encounter in your life, who tell you the same garbage over and over again that you've rejected, and that's a totally different existence. I'm talking about being around people who are so much different than you, people who live in entirely, almost a parallel dimension than you. You know, we talk about the red pill, we talk about seeing the truth, especially when it comes to relationships, when it comes to religion, and I think it's interesting to walk down the street here and see women wearing hijabs and have their husbands and their children walk behind them, and you don't see that very much in America. Now, I'm not going to get on here and talk about, oh, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I'm not going to get in the morality conversation. I think it's just so beamed to death. It's not interesting. But when I see people, I see Jews, I see Muslims, I see Christians all living in the same place, having a mosque on one street corner, a synagogue down the street, and then two blocks over to the Catholic cathedral, you can't help but ask yourself, how does this work? In the same way that, how do we work our lives? How do we make it through our lives surrounded by normies and people who don't get it, who are always consumed with the fact that they think they know what's right and that we're just bitter and hurt, or we don't know what we're talking about? And I really think we need to have a conversation about what this city reminds me of, which is the religious tapestry, the cultural significance, not only of America, but around the world. Because we can often find ourselves at a crossroads, can't we? Whether it's philosophical, whether it's religious, whether it's political, especially in a political season like we have now. I can't wait, personally, for the Joe Biden-Trump debate. What are they going to do? Is Trump going to walk out in a jumpsuit and wear handcuffs when he comes to debate Biden? I mean, it's on CNN, so I can already tell you right now, I know where it's going to go. But my friends, when I see the level of brainwashing permeating the Western world, it's interesting to come to more of the Eastern side of things and see how much different they live their lives in. Everywhere I turn in the Western world, we have the feminists talking about how evil men are, how men are the root of all problems, and if only those nasty men would go away, women would feel safe, women would have better lives and all that. And then I come over here to Eastern Europe, and I find that men are treated from what I've seen, with respect. They don't take shit from people. And where are the feminists, huh? Where are the feminists telling these throwbacks? Oh, don't have your women in ninja costumes. Don't have your women in these tents. Where are the feminists? I don't see them anywhere around here. I have yet to see one clipped-haired, crypto-fascist woman. I've yet to see one pride flag. I have yet to see any of these things. And my friends, let me tell you something. It shows. All the brainwashing we are put through in the Western world. If you think that you are living in what Entertainment coined as the Matrix, but what we see as just an illusion, a non-constant brainwashing of just, you got to believe this. This is what's good for you. This is what's going to help you in your life. You're not alone, not for one second. And I go a step further and say that if you get out of the country, you go to somewhere in Asia or in the Middle East or in Africa, and you see what life is like in these other countries, you'll realize how much stuff is just saturating you with this garbage. And when you get to a different place and you see the cultural differences, you see the faith, you see the religious tapestry being painted of all these different people trying to coexist, well, at least seemingly anyway, you gain a new perspective. And this perspective will help you build your life as a man. We talked about it not a couple days ago about what is a masculine mind. And I'm reminded of that conversation because when it comes to the masculine mind, we need to build things. We need to root ourselves in logic and reason. And a lot of the problem in our world today that I've only seen highlighted in this city is that the emotions, the feelings, and the stuff that's metaphysical that goes beyond our understanding is often what leads to the most problems in the world. Especially in the Balkans, where it's so saturated with hatred, especially around religion, whether it be the Catholics, the Orthodox, the Muslims, they all have such deep-rooted despisement for the other person. And it's so bizarre to me as an outsider. But the more I learn about it, the more I'm like, you know what? This tells the story of humanity. This tells the story of us as men. We say, wait a minute, I want what he has, so how can I take it? Well, I don't like what he views as God. I don't like his ideas of politics. I don't like what he's doing. I'm going to stop him. You might say, Austin, what does this have to do? You said you're just rambling. What does it have to do with this show? What does it have to do with relationships? What does this have to do with us as men trying to improve and develop and grow ourselves into becoming the best version of ourselves? My friends, it's all tied in. What does it mean to have a masculine mind? Well, we talked about it. It's building yourself using logic and reason, self-sacrifice, willing to go without. And my friends, as I've gotten to this crossroads of faith, so to speak, this area that's so soaked in history and religious controversy, it's so interesting to me to see how people make compromises, well, conceivably, to make things work. But then, as soon as one group gets power, they immediately abuse the other team. They immediately use that power to capitalize and harm the other side. And I say to myself, my God, we have to be aware of this. Because that is what's happening to us. You're a guy who's MGTOW, whatever definition you want to use for that. I like SMR's anabolic definition. Shout out to him. I liked his definition. I liked the conversation that he had with me and the comments and what he was talking about. I think it's incredibly important for us as men to know the history of our ancestors, to understand how we've gotten to the world we now live in, and why. Why we had to fight these battles, because other men didn't, in plain English. Charles Darwin is famous for talking about natural selection, and how the strong do what they can, and the weak suffer what they must. And we as men, we have to know this truth. And unfortunately, so many men today are brainwashed with this putrid garbage that their weakness is a virtue of some kind, that it's a good thing to be a pacifist. It makes me sick that they teach these things to kids, whether it be in the church, whether it be in the classroom, whether it be on an entertainment stage. It makes me absolutely so sick and makes me nauseous, frankly, because this is what's leading us to have the world be created in an image that's not sustainable. And we have to be able to change this. My friends, I want to shift gears here for a second because I think it's very interesting to be surrounded by such different minds, cultures, opinions, and whatnot, especially in the city. You know what? I think I want to shift gears for 2 seconds. I want to get political. Can I get political? You know what? I'll do it anyways. It's my show. Y'all can skip this part if you want. But I think it's interesting to be, when I first got in the city, you know, it was interesting to see little microcosms of what you see in the United States being displayed for me when I saw a lot of Free Palestine stuff. I saw a lot of, very frankly, a lot of anti-Semitic stuff. And it was interesting to me to see that despite the hatred, I wondered, not only is peace possible in the Middle East, but is peace also possible when it comes to our own lives? And you might say, Austin, how could you jump from one thing, which is happening for the world to see, to another that's really personal? I don't think it's that hard to jump between the two. That's just how my mind works. Frankly, I don't understand people who can stay on one simple thought the whole time and just talk about that over and over and over again, because to me it's exhausting. Instead, I want to shift our attention to this question of how can we find peace? Is peace possible, both on a political stage and on a personal stage? Because is that not what we strive for? Is that not what we want as men who are more either MGTOW, red pill, or men who just have turned their backs on society because the society first turned its back on us? It said that we either had to apply by its rules or we were not good men. We weren't good enough. We were dusties. We were dirties. We weren't good enough. And so we said, you know what? We don't care about your system. We're going to do what we want. I find it interesting that on the political side of things, when it comes to Israel, and I won't sound like Ben Shapiro talking about Israel day and night, but what I will tell you is, as someone who's of Jewish descent, I find it interesting why the world is turning its back on Israel in the same way that the world has turned its back on men in large areas of the world, especially in the West. The young people in my generation of Gen Z and Gen Alpha and below me are so obsessed with things that their grandfathers didn't worry about at all. They didn't stress about, they didn't think it was important. Their grandfathers were strong, and they realized that it was only through strength that you then could produce peace, not through weakness and begging the other person not to hurt you, or begging the other party to not interfere with your fake sense of security. This is why I find it ironic, and this is why I don't get mad about the feminists. I know other people in the space, they get furious over feminists. I don't, for one reason. Number one, the feminists are frauds. We all know this. People like Hillary Clinton, in my estimation, the squad in Congress, these people are a bunch of sniveling cowards. And the reason I say this is all you gotta do is look back at why is it they don't say a word about Islam? They don't say a word about the atrocities happening in the Middle East. They don't say a word about the Philippines. They don't say a word about anywhere besides us and Western men. Now, do I get mad at feminism at times? Yeah, of course. But largely, I don't get mad at feminists because they're goofy. They're uninformed. They're children with breasts. And I don't listen to them. In the same way that I don't think you should listen to them. But getting back to this idea of religious toleration and peace and whatnot, I find it very fascinating that when great minds come together and ideas that are very different but also have similar elements, like whether it be religions like the three Abrahamic religions or even philosophies in this space, a lot of people can get hung up on little details instead of focusing on the bread. It's the core elements, the meat and potatoes. They don't want to focus on the real issues. They want to instead focus on the little technicalities, the small details that nobody particularly cares about unless there's nothing else to care about. And my friends, I think it's important that we really break this down and we have defining lines for ourselves as to, do we want to truly understand other people's opinions and grow as people? Or do we just want to define ourselves and move on? Because it's a difference between living in ignorance and living in peace. Peace is when you have the capacity to fight and you're stronger than the other person, and it is your strength that keeps the enemy at bay. But through pacifism is usually the path that people think leads to peace, when in fact it only leads to a disaster that is inevitable. And my friends, in our desire to separate ourselves from the society that has turned its back on us, we should not make ourselves weak and ignore what is happening outside of us. I say this as someone who's largely done that for most of my life until I started to travel, until I started to go to different places and meet different people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you need to agree with them, because you're probably not going to, odds are. What is going to happen is you're going to gain perspective. Your viewpoints will be challenged, And it's only then you can then say, hey, maybe this is right. Or maybe I was wrong and I would need to adjust. That is how you build your own philosophy. That is how you don't get the wool pulled over your eyes, because it's easy to just choose a position and stand on it, whether it's right or wrong, and then let your ignorance be your own bliss. I don't subscribe to that, and I don't encourage you to do that whatsoever. Part of the biblical bachelor lifestyle that I've carved out for myself and for people who agree with me is this idea of understanding the world, understanding the importance of building your own personal philosophy, grounding yourself in elements of religion that are relevant, but you don't strive for this goal that you can't achieve. You don't strive for a moving target that you can never hit, because that's a waste of your time. It's a waste of my time, your time, and it is something that is a recipe for failure, because you can never achieve it. Instead, you can achieve a philosophy that is your own, that you stand by. That is possible, and it's very easily achieved if you're willing to put in the work. If you want to just sit on your behind and want things to be easy, well, then go back and be blue pill. Let the government tell you what to do. Let religion tell you what to do, and you don't think for yourself. Only through thinking for yourself can you actually become a man and not just another robot. In fact, AI has more personality than most people out here today, as far as I'm concerned. But my friends, being around here in Bosnia has enlightened my perspective as to how we can see things differently using the same lens that we currently have. And hopefully this wasn't too all over the place for you. My mind is kind of all over the place, truth be told. And I hope it's not coming out too much on the show. But please let me know what you thought. Let me know what other thoughts you want to add. Because I truly think that peace is valuable to us as men. And I also find it interesting that there's an underlying peace to be found here, but I also sense there's much more potential devastation to also be found. So my friends, please let me know what you think. Let me know if my parallels were too crazy, or if you think they were spot on. I'd love to hear about it. My friends, you take care of yourselves, and I look forward to interacting with you as the days, months, and years go on. I'm out. Peace.